call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick, I haven't heard you talk much about the Paris Hilton video. In your official opinion as a connoisseur of pornography, what's your take on it? Well, first of all, I think we've all seen the Paris Hilton video by now. Is that all of us?
Maybe. I haven't.
No, don't lie.
No, I haven't. I tried to find it and I couldn't.
You tried to find it and you couldn't?
Mm-hmm.
You tried on the internet, right?
Yeah.
You were just like wandering on the street looking for it.
Did the link on your website work?
I don't know. At one point it did. At one point, I mean, it may have been. I know that they're probably getting hit with cease and desist orders pretty
hard.
Yeah,
if that link doesn't work, rumor has it you can find it really easily on Kazaa.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots of copies of it there, I've heard.
In my you know, professional opinion, as a connoisseur of adult films, I got to tell you, first of all, any claim that she didn't know she was being filmed, I wonder what Richard Nunn's take on it. Richard Nunn's got the Paris Hilton love. He's all over that. I remember we got into this whole discussion about whether or not she was. I mean, she's obviously slutty. You could tell that from like the first blush you look at that girl, you know that she's a hoe. But there's this whole thing about the Paris Hilton video where, I mean, I don't know how long the complete video is. I guess it was made by this guy Rick Solomon, who was Shannon Doherty's at the time boyfriend or ex or something. But he was, so he's then sticking it to Paris Hilton. And he, I guess, is the one who made the video and who apparently, there's a whole lot of recriminations flying out. Who sold it to who and who released it. And he, in manner of Tommy Lee, is claiming it was stolen. She's claiming that it wasn't stolen, that he filmed it and then actually released it and was paid 50 grand for it or something. But it's obviously like about a 30-minute video that's been edited down. And it's obviously something that they're going to try to sell because the entire video has been edited. The one you're going to get online for free, not that you should do that, is about 4.5 minutes long. And it's 4.5 minutes long with some pretty professional-looking edits and dissolves into it. You know what I mean? It's not, like, it's not a linear video. It's not like just a 4-minute chunk of the video taken out. It's sort of the highlights of the 30-minute video. It's a bunch of greatest hits from that. You know, so there's about 4 different periods in the evening represented in that 4.5-minute video. It's highlights from the entire tape.
Well, and I swear, there's got to be a third person there that's running the camera.
Maybe.
Because there's a scene in there where...
Unless he's just holding it while he's, you know...
It can't be. There's a scene in there where they're both, like, kind of removed and on the bed.
Yeah.
And the camera adjusts angle.
Well, they have they have those cameras that do that now.
Well, then it's on a motorized tripod, because the whole thing raises up to, like, get a...
There's somebody there with a steady cam.
Something.
Jerry Bruckheimer's there going in for the better angle. All right. Well, we'll talk about that here more in a minute. We're going to I don't know. We got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian coming up later. Top 5 Tupac Shakur songs of all time. We'll check in with Kristen from accounting. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. In North Portland, however, this is a full-time listener. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, Rick. Before I get to my subject, I got 4 euphemisms for you for female self-pleasure.
Okay.
Number one, double-clicking the mouse.
Double-clicking the mouse.
Number 2, hitting the doorbell.
Hitting the doorbell.
Number 3, stirring the soup.
Stirring the soup.
And number 4, Sarah's favorite, the two-finger taco tango. Anyway, what I was calling you about was I actually saw Hugh Hefner doing a Carl Jr. commercial.
But, really?
You haven't seen the Hef Carl's Jr. commercial?
I have a TiVo.
Yeah, it's a great commercial.
I don't see commercials. Yeah, so he does, but what... Okay, what does the commercial consist of?
It's him eating a hamburger, and it's talking about how he never has the same one every night, and it's kind of like the theme of you can't have the same meal every, you know, and it's tying it into him with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I just thought, how far has he fallen?
Well, but I mean, you know, but the thing about Hugh Hefner is how great is that he can do a commercial and he can leverage an entire commercial on the completely, I mean, it's so well known that he never has the same woman twice that
right.
He doesn't even have to come out and say it, that he can just imply it, and we all know what he's talking about. That's just another way, you know what it is? I don't even view that as a step down for him. That's another way for him to go, you know, I'm Hugh Hefner and none of you are. I mean, there's 2 people that can do that. There's Hugh Hefner and there's Gene Simmons. That's pretty much
noses in it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's just another way for that guy to go, you know what, I'm old, my bones are half dust, but I'm Hugh Hefner. So that's exactly what that is. All right, that's Mark in North Portland. This, however, is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Breaking news. This from UPI, the number of U.S. casualties from Operation Iraqi Freedom, troops killed, wounded, or evacuated due to injury or illness, has passed 9,000. Yes, you heard 9,000.
I know, so the number of, this is what is 9,000?
Okay, this is the sum of injuries and casualties or illness or injury. People who have killed or had to be pulled out of there, 9,000.
And this is everybody. This is Americans and Iraqis together, 9,000?
No, U.S.
I don't understand.
United States.
There's 9,000 American casualties?
No. 397 died. 1,967 wounded, 6,861 troops medically evacuated for non-combative conditions.
What does that mean?
They got hurt somehow.
Or diseased.
Right.
They've got some sort of disease.
Right. 6,861.
Have been removed due to medical conditions.
And I'll bet most of that's mental.
Probably.
So, I have a few figures here. 2,464 injuries, such as those sustained in automobile accidents. Over 2,000 accidents involving vehicles. 4,397 due to illness. 504 of those classified as psychiatric.
Okay.
378 as neurological. And 150 for neurosurgery.
I wonder how many of those are maybe heat-related. I mean, because it's like, we were reading something the other day that said it was like 140 degrees inside those tents. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially if you're fearing any sort of radiological or biological agents, you know, you got to wear those suits. I mean, it's probably 160 degrees inside some of those suits. You're not supposed to, I mean, that starts killing off your brain cells. Jesus, 9,000 people removed for one medical condition or another.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And that takes into account the 397 who were dead. Now we understand there are two more who were killed today, so that brings it to 398.
Well, it makes you wonder, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy guy in the strictest sense of the word, but I mean, it does, I think everybody can, we can all acknowledge that, I mean, there's a lot more going on over there than we're being told, and the only reason you know that is because there's a lot more that goes on in every war than we're told, especially since Vietnam. They kind of learned from Vietnam, you know, on, they sort of buckled down really hard on the press cover. I mean, it is worth noting that during the first Gulf War, when we had the first go-around with this nonsense in 1991, that, you know, at no time on any of the major news broadcasts were dead bodies ever shown. They never showed a dead American. They never showed a dead Iraqi, for that matter, during any of the, you know, the real hard ground war that was going on in the first Gulf War. So, I mean, it's...
So that may very well explain all the stories we're hearing about people waiting for weeks and weeks to see a doctor once they bring them back here.
I mean, I can't even imagine how many Iraqis have been killed. I mean, if there's 9,000 Americans that are either killed, wounded, or being taken out for other medical reasons, I can't even, you've got to figure the number of Iraqis like three times that. You've got to figure there's 30,000 dead or otherwise harmed Iraqis.
Now, these are the numbers that were released by the Pentagon.
And so you've got to figure it's twice that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Pentagon is copping to the fact that there's 9,000 Americans who've been removed for one reason or another medically, that the real figure is probably closer to 20. That's just unbelievable.
So that explains these stories why people waited weeks and weeks to, you know, see a doctor once they bring back.
And I mean, and you don't like to think these things, but I mean, you got to wonder if how many of those are self-inflicted. You got to wonder if dudes are just wanting to get, you know, I mean, depending on how bad the situation is. Nobody likes to talk about that out loud, but you got to wonder how many of those guys are doing stuff because they want to get out of there. They don't want to be there. You know, because when you sign up here, the thing is, I've never been in the military. I'm not really military material. But I think you get all these guys who sign up because they picture themselves just getting a 4-year stretch sitting on a bunk somewhere in Tallahassee, and they're going to get their college paid for. You know, they don't really anticipate that, you know, that we're going to get some bizarre idea to go over and invade Iraq for no readily apparent reason, and that they're going to be stuck there in 140 degree weather fighting off disease and guys who are trying to shoot them in the head.
Just be looking for the draft soon. That's all I have to say.
You know, well, I mean, I think this is really put, I mean, you're going to have military enrollment, I think, is going to be substantially down. You're going to see that over the next decade, because I think people are realizing you didn't go there and you get the shaft put to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 2-3 wars in a row where you're getting pretty much, we had that woman, I don't think she was in Oregon. She might have been in Oregon. But there was this woman here in America that was trying to raise money to send air conditioners. And air conditioners and, like, shoes or boots or some crap over to Iraq because they didn't have any air conditioners. We couldn't keep them. And it was 145 degrees in the tent. And she had, like some kid of hers didn't have shoes because the shoes were just getting destroyed by the environment over there. And he didn't have any boots he could put on his feet. So, that's just a bad scene. I'm going to be bringing everybody down on a Friday, but that's...
Just bad news.
I couldn't believe it when I read it, but it's from the Pentagon, and it was put out by UPI.
All right.
Well, let's talk about what other Americans are talking about anyway. What's on TV tonight? The Animal is on with Rob Schneider.
Yeah, don't miss that.
Also is The Shootist with John Wayne and Lauren Bacall.
Now, isn't that a
sexy voice?
Lauren Bacall, sexiest voice of all time. Wasn't The Shootist, wasn't that his last movie?
1976.
It's not Ron Howard. It's the guy who plays John Boy, isn't it? Which is the one? Is it Ron Howard or is it John Boy? The Shootist is where he's the gunfighter who's retired, but he's got the kid who idolizes him and wants to learn to shoot like him. I think it might be the kid who played John Boy. Anyway, it's a good movie, 1979.
A Bug's Life is on tonight. It's an animated feature.
That's a great film.
Mm-hmm. Also, Dirty Jobs, Catching Catfish and Cleaning Septic Tanks.
Yeah. All right.
Now, see this, a sinking garbage truck. And they're going to play all the Honeymooners on tonight in the marathon. I always like it when they shut the door and the whole set shakes.
it's like Tor Johnson walking into a
yeah,
wall.
Exactly. So that's on tonight on TV Land.
All right.
So that's it for now. One more thing here. You know that steroids have made Jerry Lewis so fat, haven't you?
And that guy's puffy.
Yeah, prednisone, right?
He's in the hospital trying to get off them. The manager said Lewis has been in the hospital for weeks trying to wean himself off the pills. He's been taking the steroids for 2 years to treat a lung condition. The manager said Lewis is now slimming down to his normal weight, whatever that was. So that's it for now. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
I was watching the Jerry Lewis E! True Hollywood story, and I could not believe how huge he was. He was immense. I mean, there's fat. I mean, it's that kind of fat that you know it's medical. I mean, you look at it and you realize there's no way even Jerry Lewis, who was, you know, he's kind of pudgy in his later years anyway, you just know there's no reason there's no logical reason to be that fat. That guy just bloated up. I mean, he was like a ballpark sausage. He was huge. So, anyway. All right. What were we talking about? We were talking about the Paris Hilton thing. Okay, so I'm just going to say this, though. Now, many of you out there, many of my peeps have seen the Paris Hilton video, and you know what I'm saying, that it's pretty professionally done in the editing, that it's whatever, 30, 35-minute sex video that's been whittled down to about 4 minutes of sort of greatest hits, obviously as a teaser, as an inducement for you to buy it. And there's all these sequences where she keeps adjusting the camera, and they clearly have got some monitor or something, so they can see what's being filmed, where she's moving around like the attention whore she obviously is to get all the best angles on herself. And at one point, she just shoves him out of the frame so that she can take up the entire frame of the camera. And he's sitting there, he's like, am I still on the screen? And she's like, no. And she's just sort of pushing him backwards, and then just sitting and just doing this. It's kind of creepy, actually, because they're there, and she's, I don't know, I'm trying to gross y'all out. I'm just saying, they're there, and she's doing what we call in porn terms the reverse cowgirl. So she's on top, facing away from him, and she's just sitting there sort of like, it's just like Narcissus, just right there in front of the mirror, just sort of like basking in the glow of her own beauty or something. It's kind of bizarre. And then there's this long sequence later on where she's doing the Lewinsky, and he's just sitting there watching TV. He's sitting there watching Chris Rock on television. And it's like, I don't know how, I mean, you know, whatever. Anyway, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the lovely and talented Kristen from accounting, who joins us now. How are you?
I'm good to eat.
So what's up in your world?
Well, you know, you kind of touched on a nerve with the non-Jolie segment today.
Yeah, we had Corinne from the front desk who was covering for Jolie today.
Lovely Corinne, we love that, because she was completely correct in her answer, too.
And she didn't make things up.
Yeah, and she didn't start screeching at the top of her lungs.
No.
Either. And she didn't do the, nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
So we love that. But, you know, I just want to reiterate for the guys out there, you know, help a brother out. Even when women say they're just like your uck buddies or whatever, they're always, well, I shouldn't say always, most women are thinking in the back of their minds,
for now.
This will turn into, he'll see what a wonderful person I am, and he'll want something more. And then, so it's just always better to just tell her the truth.
No, I think that I think a lot of times, and again, not always, but I think a lot of times there's sort of this implied for now at the end of statements that women tell you. You know, I don't really want a serious relationship for now. I don't want to have kids for now. I don't mind you hanging out with your friends.
You want to hear.
Yeah. Well, be under the presumption that she can sort of like, you know, like grandfather you in and then sort of change you after the fact.
Yeah. Well, and then they're also under the impression, women are under the impression that they're hoochie mamas, have this magical thing, and the men are just going to say, how could I live without that? And, you know, they think that men are just going to follow them anywhere, like the Pied Piper.
Right. Well, it's like you always hear. I mean, it happens so frequently. It's almost it's a cliche about the. You hear about the whole friends with benefits things, and then initially it's great, and then 6 months later the guy's still just loving the casual sex, and the woman's like, "But I thought we were building it." But I, and the other thing is, and I got to say this. The other thing is, I think as a woman. If you're going to do this as a woman, you're in a relationship, I think if you start, like we had that guy yesterday with a girl, was he was just sort of sleeping with Kat, there was like a booty call or whatever, and then she says that she loves him. The woman, you got to tell the guy that, like, as soon as you know that it's the case, because it's going to be, like, more unpleasant. The longer you wait,
exactly,
the harder it is. It, like I said, it's just like sinking into mud, and it's going to be harder and more unpleasant for everybody to get out of that.
That's all I'm saying. You have to, because you know what you're thinking, and she doesn't.
Yeah.
Women need the closure. Just, I have some experience with this. Guys, just suck it up, grow some balls, and tell her what's going on.
This is just your bid to replace Jolie permanently. That's what this is right here.
No, not so much.
All right. I'm just saying, it's not back until Tuesday. We got to find, I don't know who we're going to get to do it on Monday. Because I know you've got like an actual boss and a job.
Yeah,
and
it for you on Monday.
Great.
You really want.
Yeah, you can help a brother out.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right. We'll see you Monday then. There you go. There's Kristen from accounting. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're going to do this. We're going to come back. We got more around the corner, including the top five Tupac Shakur songs of all time. More of your phone calls. Like us at 3. The world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. The best damn radio show you've ever heard in your life, Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero, at 10 p.m. tonight. You stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Back after this.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick, the How Chicks Think segment has been great lately. What's the deal? It's been short, concise, informative, realistic. I haven't had to turn the volume down to avoid willy shrinking. Please keep up the good work. There you go. That's from Michael. All right. You know, here's a problem that probably none of you guys deal with at your jobs. I was just over in the other room talking to Matt. We were getting the top five ready. And Sarah's over there complaining she doesn't have a copy of the Paris Hilton video. And I said, I'm sorry. And she goes, well, the link on your page doesn't work anymore. And I said, I'm sorry.
I just didn't think it would be that hard to find. I've gone to like 30 pages now.
But could you find it for me? And I said, well, okay. And I kind of poked around the internet for a few seconds, unable to find it. And I got chastised for it. So my inability to locate pornography for a female coworker just resulted in me being chastised. So there you go. So there's a possible upside to working in radio. So I'm not actually going to encourage people to send Sarah links to the Paris Hilton video because, of course, I don't want to be involved in the dissemination of pornography.
What's her email again?
I mean...
SarahDillon1080@yahoo.com.
Okay. Don't want to even encourage anybody.
Yeah, not that we want people to use that to send Sarah the Paris Hilton video because that's not anything you should do. That's something we should try to avoid at all possible costs. All right, let's roll it. It's your top five for Friday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's
the best thing to do.
Or.
Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you?
All right, today's top five. Because Tupac, the Resurrection opens today,
yeah,
right?
Just Tupac Resurrection.
Tupac Resurrection. By the way, Resurrection is a title that's becoming egregiously overused in the hip-hop community. There's about 7,000 different guys that have put out comeback records, reunion records. They put together some compilation, and it's called Resurrection. It's one of
those things. Post-mortem records.
It doesn't need to be done anymore. Just knock it off. So I saw Afeni Shakur doing what she does best, which is riding her son's corpse like it's an Amtrak on CNN today. So between Afeni Shakur and Death Row Records, Tupac has managed to put out 7 records since his death. More he actually put out when he was alive.
An album a year since he's been
an
dead.
An album a year. You got Metallica can't put out an album a year now, and they're all still drawing breath. You know what I mean? Anyway. So Tupac Resurrection comes out today in theaters. Matt's going to see it and let me know how it is before I contribute more money to Suge Knight's pocketbooks. Because you know he's probably getting a slice of that. Apparently there's some record on the soundtrack that's got Biggie and Tupac together.
It is. Runnin' is the name of the track. And it's not actually bad, but it's just odd to see the two of them together.
Well, I was talking to my friends Ryan and Kelson about it, and we went to the Scratch show on Saturday. We thought somebody needed to do a song that was Tupac and Biggie together, but apparently it's been done. In any event, so in honor of the movie's release today, we have these, the top 5 Tupac Shakur songs of all time.
With honorable mention to Live and Die in L.A.
Beeps courtesy of Matt Peterson in about 9 hours of work.
Actually, none of them were all that bad other than Hit 'Em Up.
Can't be giving away, I don't believe that. You can't give away what's coming up on the list, I don't believe that. Can't foreshadow what's ahead on the top 5.
Well, none of them were all that bad except one that's up and coming.
Yeah, thank you. Making money off of cuss words, writing the game. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, damn sunset, like in the sand. What's the worst they can do to it? To Live and Die in L.A. is an underrated movie, by the way. Came out of, what, 85, 86, something like that? That's actually the first movie I ever got on pay-per-view.
Did Wayne Chung do that?
Yeah! To Live and Die in L.A., yeah. I'm pretty sure that this is one of those records that came out after he died, but I'm not entirely positive about that.
Juice was on last night.
Juice.
Yeah, well, there were two.
It's got a good soundtrack. It's got the sound
Bishop.
Soundtrack for Juice was done by the Bomb Squad, the guys who produced Public Enemy, Young Black Teenagers. Remember Young Black Teenagers? They had that what was that? Spin the Bottle. Yeah. Young Black Teenagers. Was that Mixmaster Mike or somebody in the Young Black Teenagers?
All right. At number 4, it's Dear Mama. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17
years old, kicked out on the streets. So back at the time, did we just skip number 5?
Oh, you know you're right.
Okay, well, this is number 5. This is number 4. We'll go back and do number 5 when we're done with this. Then we'll continue on to 3. It's yet another little quirk that sets KOTK apart from real radio stations. It's a great song, by the way. Dear Mama, this is on What the hell album is this on? Is this on Me Against the World? I've got this on a compilation. I've got this on the... It's not on his second record. It's not on Tupacalypse Now. I think it's on Me Against the World.
I think you're right.
Because it ended up on that Death Row compilation they did, which none of his really early stuff did, because that was all put out by Interscope or somebody. See, this is why girls love Tupac, because he would just talk about banging and being all hard and whatnot and doing drive-bys on a brother. And then he would do these songs about his mom, and he would do like that Brenda's Got a Baby was another one, and that song Keep Your Head Up was another one. Keep Your Head Up, which is this whole song about like sisters in the hood having to make it on their own, trying to stay strong, giving it up for single mothers and whatnot. And girls would listen to him and they would just go weak in the knees. Because you know what this is? This song about your mama, this is the equivalent of the hard rock band doing the power ballad to try to get the girls. This is Tupac's Every Rose Has Its Thorn or something, you know what I mean? Because he spent the rest of his time being all tough, and then he does this song, and chicks are like, oh, but he's a thug with a heart of gold.
And he loves his mom.
That's what they do, and that's why girls loved him, man, because he was hard, but he would sing a song about his mama.
Okay, so let's go back to number 5. This is called Heat Game.
This is off of his second release. It's my personal, it's the best of all his albums, in my opinion.
What, Tupacalypse Now?
No, it's strictly for my N-word. See, because people, you know, they got Tupac got so much fame when he was with Death Row Records and he did that West Coast sound where he was at that G-Funk sound, it was real laid back. Then I realized that, like, you know, a lot of the early Tupac stuff had that real hectic, cluttered East Coast sound to it. I mean, it almost kind of had like a Bomb Squad feel to it. I mean, that sounds, I mean, this sounds almost like early solo Ice Cube right here. Like an America's Most Wanted, whatnot. That's what this sounds like. So for anybody that thought that Tupac was just some sort of a creation of Dr. Dre, and his first couple records will totally disprove that theory. The guy was, you know, strong and good on all on his own.
And then we go back to number three, which is called California Love.
For me, this would have been my number one from Tupac.
Great song.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Sounds like the Beach Boys.
I remember I was in California when I heard this, as a matter of fact.
And this was off All Eyes on Me, if I remember correctly, which was the first rap double album ever. The first double CD in hip-hop was this. And it's got that great line because this did come out right after he got out of prison. And that's what has that line where he says, out on bail, fresh out of jail, California dreaming. Because Suge Knight, and I don't know if the story is true, but the rumor that always went around is that Suge Knight got him out of prison. And then was outside in the car with the contract literally written on like a napkin or like jailhouse toilet tissue or something. That Suge was out there having gotten him out of jail and was out there with the contract saying, all right, now, I got you out of jail, now you're going to sign to my record label.
That's right.
And then that was pretty much it. I mean, his legal expenses, his legal costs, all that was paid by Suge Knight in exchange for him coming to Death Row. God, I remember the first time I heard this. There used to be a radio show, not around anymore, called Pharrell on the Bench. It's a guy named Scott Pharrell, one of the all-time great radio hosts. A man from whom I've stolen much. And he played this on, it was a sports show of all things. I think it used to be on The Fan here, a long time ago. It's not on the air anymore. But he said, yeah, I got the new one from Tupac and Dr. Dre. You know, and he played California Love. And I remember sitting there in the car, already at my house, engine off, sitting there in the car, listening to this song for like 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it was on, because I was blown away by how good it was. I mean, people don't really kind of grasp that we were alive to live through at least a couple golden ages of rap, you know, with another undoubtedly on the way. But, I mean, we lived through a whole golden era there with the Chronic and Dre at the Death Row.
Number two, Hit Him Up.
Probably the most fully realized diss record ever recorded. Came out as the flip side to what the hell was it? The flip side to? There was something. Came out as a B side though. A great song and a terrible song at the same time. Because this song, if ever there was any doubt that there was a huge problem brewing between Bad Boy Records and Death Row, this record erased all that doubt. I mean, this is where it kind of quit being fun and it quit being battling on wax. I mean, but for what it is, this is the apotheosis of rap threats on record. From New York that want to bring it, but we ain't singing, we bringing drama. You and your motherfucking mama, we gonna kill all you motherfuckers. Now when I came out, I told you it was just about Biggie. Then everybody had to open their mouth with a motherfucking opinion. Well, this is how we gonna do this. Mob Deep, Biggie, Bad Boy as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Bad Boy, then you too. Chino XL, you too. All you motherfuckers, you too. All of y'all motherfuckers, you die slow, motherfucker. My 4-4 makes sure all y'all kids don't grow. You motherfuckers can't be us or see us. We motherfucking thug like riders west side till we
we die. Out here in California, we warn you, we'll bomb on you, motherfucker. We do our job. You think you mob, we the motherfucking mob. Ain't nothing but killers in the real, all you motherfuckers fillers. Our go triple and four quadruple.
That's just unnerving.
Pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Don't ever hear a choral group do that.
You know, this reminds me of? It reminds me of God by Lennon.
Yeah.
When he just tore into everybody. We bad boy
killer. And number one, Me and You Against the World.
Or Me Against the World. Yeah. So there you go. Me Against the World, I mean, which, you know, it kind of sums it all up for him. It had great production style, great lyrics. It kind of laid it all out. You know, that Hit 'Em Up, though, just to touch back on it a second. I remember the first time I heard Hit 'Em Up. And that's about 2 minutes of a four-minute song. But, I mean, you're right when you talk about it being like God by John Lennon, where John Lennon, you know, this song's God, where he builds it up, and there's this chorus and a verse. And then at the end, he just does that laundry list of, I don't believe in Zimmerman, I don't believe in Elvis, I don't believe in Beatles. And that's what Hit 'Em Up is like. I mean, Hit 'Em Up erased any doubt once and for all that it was a serious beef kind of brewing between the West and the East Coast labels there. I mean, if there was any chance of reconciliation, and Hit 'Em Up starts, by the way, that song Hit 'Em Up starts with Tupac stating flat that he banged Biggie Smalls' wife. I mean, like, the second line is, says, you claim to be a player, but I effed your wife. You know? I mean, he says it right there in record. You know? That he banged Faith Evans. So, anyway, freaky stuff. So both good and horrible at the same time. There you go. So there's your top five. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah's being thwarted at every attempt at pornography viewing. So you can probably at this point quit sending her links to the Paris Hilton video because we've determined it's
our
not so
computer.
Much... Yeah, she's basically got an Etch-A-Sketch she uses in there. It's not so much a computer as it is just sort of a big... Just a big paperweight. So she apparently got all these links to the Paris Hilton video, which are working. It's that she doesn't have Windows Media Player. So in order to watch the video, she first has to go to Microsoft.com and upgrade her Windows Media Player. Only then will she be able to view the Paris Hilton thing. The funny part was, when she was complaining, she's like, I can't find the Paris Hilton sex video anywhere, which is not really a thing you hear a lot of women complaining about. And I think it's good that we're taking positive steps forward in rectifying that situation. But then Matt and I simultaneously going, I'll burn it at home and bring it in on Monday. Just like without even, you know. So.
Trying to help Sarah out, man.
I'm,
you know,
I'm just saying.
I'm sure I can find it somewhere this weekend.
Yeah, I think I can. I'm not going to lie. It's the first thing I did. I went home, whatever, Wednesday, whatever day that it sort of became big news. I went up, walked in, because I got the stupid dial-up connection. So stupid, lousy Comcast. Sons of bitches. But
my Comcast works splendidly.
No, don't. Just stop.
Took me about 6 minutes to download
do
the whole
don't
thing.
Don't even do
we
it.
We have a lot of friends that have Comcast who listen downstairs, who came to the listener party.
I know, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's the fault of their parent company, which behaves in a... indefensible manners. And anyway, the point is, I went home and I got the 288 modem or whatever, so I walked in the front, and you know how this is. You all have dial-up, like when you're downloading songs off Kazaa, legal songs, of course. These are the songs that are licensed for online trading. You go home, and you get the dial-up, and then you go do something else. You know how that is. You go home, you dial-up, set to download, and then you go have dinner and a nap. You know, and you come back later, 49% complete. Estimated download time, 7 hours. So I finally got the Paris Hilton thing. It's freaky, though, because it's all in night vision. So they got the green skin and the glowing raccoon eyes because it's, you know, because it's like a negative. Parts of it, not all of it, parts of it are like a photo negative because it's a night vision camera. It's like they're using Tim's camera. He's got that same thing. And there's great sound quality, though. You can hear the sound quality while he's totally giving her like the directions on how to like pose and the switch positions and whatnot. So anyway, Portland, it's a full time listener. Emil, you're on Hot Talk to Eddie K2K. What's up?
Rick, how's it going?
What do you got?
Man, I'm just really bothered by that top five that you put out there. I mean, I'm a big fan of Tupac's Camp and everything, and I think you just butchered that.
Okay.
I mean, I think you left out a lot of songs that really embody what Tupac was all about.
Probably. All right.
What about I Get Around?
I Get Around is a good song. That was one that almost made the final cut. Get Around. That's
Brenda's Got a Baby?
I mentioned Brenda's Got a Baby, though, when we were playing Dear Mama.
That's true, but no honorable mention.
I said that Brenda's Got a Baby and Keep Your Head Up both kind of fall into that same category as Dear Mama, which is they're sort of the softer side of Tupac.
That's true.
If it had been up to me, I personally would have put Keep Your Head Up on, as opposed to Brenda's Got a Baby or Dear Mama. But I think Dear Mama's probably the more widely known of the... I should note, here's an important distinction. Matt and I were talking about this. I'm not positive about To Live and Die in L.A., but as a general rule, we tried to stay away from songs that were released after his death.
That was on Machiavelli, which came out after he died.
But was it done before he died? In other words, was it in the can, or was it... Because like a lot of that, like that Changes song with the
right.
Bruce Hornsby, like that was all assembled.
Click Track.
Well, because didn't you tell me that the... Because he would go in, and the deals, he would put in a Click Track and just spit the rhymes, and then wait, you know, and then, you know, assemble them later. So after he's dead, people are still doing records. Didn't you tell me that...
Well, there was a whole thing while Tupac was still alive where he was, like, railing against the Fugees and against Wyclef.
Right.
And now Wyclef is actually using a bunch of Tupac lyrics that had already been laid down in this collaboration between Wyclef and Tupac.
So, after he's dead, if
Tupac would have still been alive, man, there's no way that he would have let that happen.
That'd be like waiting for me to die and then using my voice on a radio show with Lars Larson. You know what I mean? And the funny part is that they'll just sell Tupac's rhymes to anybody with a checkbook. It's like there's Suge Knight. You know what it is? I picture Suge Knight at like a lemonade stand with like a bunch of audio tapes, you know, and people coming by going, "Yo, man, what you got?" And he's like, "What you want? I got some Tupac. I got some Snoop," and they got, you know, and then Wyclef puts down $5 and walks away with some Tupac rhymes.
Well,
like,
you know,
his record.
The Biggie collaboration.
Crap.
It's crap, but I can almost understand it.
It's crap, but I like it.
At one point, you know, best friends, big feud, the
well,
whole
like
thing.
It's points for irony.
Yeah, I could see that coming full circle where at some point they would have patched up maybe in the future. Yeah. But the Wyclef thing, I mean, Tupac,
he
hated the Fuji, he hated Wyclef.
Well, just leave it to Puffy to ruin any good song.
On that we can all agree. There you go. As he says, F Bad Boy as a staff, label, and as a, what does he say, Mother effing crew. What does he say that? Didn't hit him up, so, yeah, there you go. All right, we'll be back to finish it up after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk to Eddie. KFTK, stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I can't believe what a nerd I am, sitting here talking about how I'm trying to keep it real for Tupac after his death. Because that's what Tupac wants, some white loser in Portland sitting here trying to give him props. Keeping it for the street. holding it down for the street after he's, you know, whatever, dead, I guess. I got nothing. All right, Clyde Lewis, tonight.
Open phones, Austin Van Lack on Saturday, and science fiction writer Christine Smith.
Excellent. There you go. Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero tonight, 10 to 1, following the Phil Hendry Show. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Kristen from accounting, Corinne from the front desk, Tupac Shakur, et cetera, so on and so forth. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KUTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F, Matt Peterson. Don't miss the Muddy River Nightmare Band with the Civvies tonight at DB8, 10 p.m. Be there. Don't let the bastards grind it down. We'll see you Monday. Bye.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.